in verse 14, amen. But I'm going to tell y'all right now, y'all starting off the day so good today. Y'all starting off the day so good today. You know how many people stayed home today? How many people passed houses where people was outside preparing to celebrate something that they should be at the house of God celebrating? Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Hallelujah. Now, if you're home, if you're live streaming, you're doing good. I'm not talking about y'all. But I'm talking about the ones who lost the meaning of what Resurrection Sunday is all about. All right? No. If you tune in and you look, you almost as good as here. Amen. Because you know if there was a church in your area, you would be to that Philadelphia church. But it's coming soon in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So Acts 7 and 14, the Bible says, "Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 70 souls." Saints of God, we've been talking about Joseph, the patriarch of the Old Testament. And we were talking about how he predicted that there would be famine in Egypt. And he told the Egyptians, listen, let's put away 20% of corn or grain, amen, so we could be ready for the famine. And they did that. And because of Joseph and his, hallelujah, gifting of the Lord of interpretation of dreams, Joseph was able to put Egypt in a position where they were the only ones to have food all over the known world. Because they were the only ones who had food, Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery, if y'all remember, they wind up having to come and bow down in front of Joseph to get food. Now, they're the ones who sold him into slavery. They're the reason why he was in prison. They're the reason why he lost everything. But let me tell you, God got a way of working things out where your enemies got to come bow down before you. Hallelujah. That's what he said in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, don't worry about your enemies. Tell your other neighbor, God got that. And that's what happened. Joseph just went along and he kept on going doing the plan that God had for him. And his brothers came. Joseph wanted to test if his brothers had changed or not. So he put a silver cup in Benjamin's bag, kind of moving quickly. And they found the silver cup. And Joseph told them, listen, y'all can go home, but leave Benjamin and my brother with me. And Judah stood up. Somebody say, Judah stood up. And Judah said, no, we can't, I'm going to stay and be a slave. Let Benjamin go back to his father. And when Joseph heard that, his heart broke, and he began to weep, and he revealed his identity to his brothers. And he told them, call my father Jacob, tell him come on over to Egypt to me, because there's 5 years left in the famine, and I don't want him to die or go in poverty. Let him come. I'm going to go ahead and provide a place for y'all in Goshen. So we picked up, amen, with them telling Jacob that. And we saw that as soon as they told Jacob that Joseph was alive, Jacob had a problem, y'all. Anybody know what Jacob had a problem with? He had a problem with his faith. He couldn't believe good news, but he was quick to believe bad news. All right? Joseph had a problem with stinking thinking. Amen? And a lot of us have that problem, amen. When somebody tell us, amen, that salvation is free, when somebody tell us that the blessings of the Lord is ours, when somebody tell us that we the people of the book, when somebody tell us that we Judah, amen, we can't believe none of the good news, but we can believe all the bad news. We believe when a doctor say it's cancer. We believe when the doctor say we not going to live, amen. But I got a word for you. Whose report shall you believe this morning? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Don't get caught up with stinking thinking. Don't believe the bad news before the good news. Believe the good news. And when the bad news come, amen, tell your neighbor, get a second opinion. In the name of, come on, give God some glory, amen. Jacob had a faith problem. He was only quick to believe bad news. He not only had a faith problem in that area, but Jacob believed only what he could see. If he couldn't see it, he couldn't believe it. So when they told him Joseph was alive, he didn't believe that. But when he saw the wagons, that's what he believed. And a lot of us are like that. We don't believe God until after God moves. We Johnny come lately. God tell us amen, but we won't believe until after God moves. And the Bible says, Jesus told Thomas, he said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. He said, but blessed are those who have not seen and believe. I'm looking for some not seeing believers right now. Believers that walk by faith and not by sight. You see, when you have to see something to believe it first, you on the back end of the blessing. You on the back end of those who have little faith. Amen? Little faith. All right? But the ones who have great faith, we ain't got to see something to believe in. We walk by faith and not by sight. We take God at his word. Amen? We take him at his word. Hallelujah. Come on, tell your neighbor, take God at his word. So this is what Jacob did wrong, y'all. He had a faith problem. All right? But just because we do something wrong in one area don't mean that we don't have it together in other areas. In fact, truth be told, amen, most of us in here have a few problem areas. Anybody got a problem area up in here? Huh? Don't you try to act like you're 100% perfect up in here. All right? Because I know some of y'all. And we might not have a problem area, hallelujah, all the same. But all of us got a little problem area. Jacob's problem area was faith, but it don't mean that he didn't have some other areas together. So for the first point, last time we talked about Jacob. And we just looked at that reminiscent of his old name, hallelujah, comparing his old name to his old ways, all right? Hallelujah. And we all got some old ways. In fact, if putting in the right situation on the wrong day, huh? The old can quickly come out. And you be up in that, boy, you forgot who I am? I thought you were saved, Omar. No. Old dog is still in that. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, tell your neighbor, don't call him out. Don't call him out. Leave that old man alone. Leave him alone. Don't call him out, Billy Clay. Tell them boys, Billy Clay. It's still project up in that. So we talked about Jacob, all right? So this morning we want to talk about Israel, all right? We done talked about the old man. Let's talk about the new man. So to do this, we got to take our Bibles and turn to Genesis 46, verse 1, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, I will oblige you by putting it up on the screen so you can see what's going on. And after the Bible talks about the things he did wrong, 46:1 is going to pick up in the things he's doing right. And we're going to watch the Bible change his name. They refer to him as Jacob in 45 in the end. But by the time we get to 46:1, look how God refers to him. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. All right? Hallelujah. The first thing that Jacob does right, hallelujah, after he's, hallelujah, doing all this wrong stuff with his faith, the first thing he did right was Jacob went to Beersheba. Jacob went to Beersheba. Come on, tell your neighbor, go to Beersheba. All right? Pastor, what's Beersheba? Sound like some girl in the hood. That her daddy liked beer so much, he named her Beer. And her mama name was Sheba. Beersheba. That's how they do that today. Don't name her Beersheba. All right? But Beersheba was not a person. Beersheba was a place. A place that we all need to go to or stay at. Beersheba was the place of the promise. That's the meaning of the name. The place of the promise, of the oath, of the vow. You see? Jacob went to Beersheba. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal with that? Well, this is the same place where his daddy went when his daddy was in trouble. Beersheba. It was the same place where his grandpa went when his grandpa was in trouble. Beersheba. You see, there was a time, amen, when Isaac was fighting with the Philistines and they didn't have no water. You see, because a desert, Negev, is right by this place, Beersheba. And I got a little map that'll show you where it is if you're interested in the geographic nature of this sermon. Amen. But Beersheba was right near the entrance of the Negev desert. It was the last place that you could find water. Amen. And the Philistines was giving Isaac so much trouble because every well he would dig, they would close it up. Amen. And they would fight with him about the water. Amen. And Isaac thought he was going to die of thirst because in the desert you need water. All right. And so Isaac goes to Beersheba. And at Beersheba, he calls upon the Most High God. And he begins to pray unto God and hallelujah. And he offers to God, build an altar to God. And in 26:24, look what the Lord does to Isaac. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not. You ain't got to be afraid of dying of thirst. I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Isaac, you're not going to die. I'm going to give you everything you need. But God, it's a desert. Listen, I can make water come out of a rock in the desert. I can make a river in the wilderness. Isaac, you're going to be all right. Isaac called upon God in Beersheba. And there his servants digged the well, and the well was overflowing with water. Somebody say Beersheba. It's where your daddy went when he was in trouble. But not only Isaac went, but Abraham was fighting with Abimelech. And they didn't know if it was going to be war, amen, or what. And Abraham went to the same place and called upon God. And the Bible says, and Abraham planted a grove that was a certain particular tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Somebody say Beersheba is the place where your daddy went, where your grandpa went when they needed divine intervention. You see, what Jacob did right, amen, he went back to the place he knew where he could get some help from. Ooh, anybody hear me up in here? All right? Then let me break it down. You see, Jacob was probably raised by a godly mama and godly daddy. We know he had a godly grandpa. All right? And just like Jacob, you might have been raised by some godly parents. Anybody, raise your hand if your parents had a little resemblance of godliness. Amen? Now, some other ones, y'all say, Pastor, they had some stuff, but it wasn't godly. I'm not talking about y'all right now. All right? But you still better know where Beersheba at yourself. All right. I'm talking about those, amen, whose parents, amen, had a godly influence upon them. All right. You see, Jacob wasn't perfect. He made his mistakes. Amen. And his fate would waver every now and then. But one thing you could never take away from Jacob is that he knew where to go when he was in trouble. He knew what mama taught him, what daddy taught him, what grandpa taught him. And he knew where to go. He went. Where did he go? He went to Beersheba. All right. All right? Yeah. That's my prayer for the young people in here. All those that's at the altar right here, that's my prayer for you. All right? And even the ones a little older than that, that's my prayer for y'all. Amen? That's my prayer for y'all. Amen? Anybody listening to me up here? Amen? My prayer is not that you'd be perfect, no, because I know that none of us gonna be perfect. Even though I want you to strive for godliness. My prayer is not that you would be a pastor, amen, even though that would be great, amen. All right? But let me tell you my prayer for y'all. My prayer for y'all, amen, hallelujah, is that when life hits you between the eyes and when you fall into some trouble, that you know how to get to Beersheba. You know how to get to the place where mama and daddy used to go for help. How many parents wish that, huh? Pray that for their children. Let me give you some examples of Bathsheba. Number one, Bathsheba is the prayer closet. What if your children can learn, amen, when they get in trouble to go to the prayer closet? What if they could remember seeing mama on her knees in the prayer closet, seeing daddy stretched out, laid out in the prayer closet? What if they could remember you praying over them bills on the table? What if they could remember you crying to the Lord when you was laid up in that hospital? What if they could remember, amen, when things didn't go right and they needed that blessing for the house or for the car? What if they could remember you looking up and saying, God, we need you now? And God showing up and showing out. See, my prayer is that our youngsters would remember the Bathsheba call, the prayer closet. That they would go back to that prayer closet. That they would understand Jeremiah 29, 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You see it up there? Then shall ye call upon me, God says. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will what? I will hearken unto you. If you in trouble, prayer is a type of Bathsheba. All right? In James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Anybody going through? Look what James say. Three words. Let him pray. All right? Prayers, hallelujah, of the righteous availeth much. Even if we ever need salvation. Our kids, our youngsters, prayer is the place to find that salvation. The Bible says in Romans 10, hallelujah, that salvation is as near as our mouth. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you teach your children the Bathsheba of prayer, amen, not only will God provide for them, protect them, and bless them, but God will even save them. Because one day they're going to bow down and they're going to say, God, I got enough. Please forgive me of my sins and save me in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Jacob wasn't perfect, but he knew where to go. For others, amen, Bathsheba is going to be the word of God. It's going to be the word of God. The word of God is a Bathsheba. And that's what we want our kids to remember, yeah. That when we needed wisdom, when we needed advice, when we needed direction, when we needed strength and encouragement, we want our kids to remember daddy sitting on the table with that big Bible up in there, reading that big Bible. We want them to remember waking up in the morning and seeing us, amen, with the word of God in our hands. Or before we go to bed, sitting up in bed, reading to one another. You see, when our kids see that, when they get in trouble and they need a word, guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to Bathsheba of the word of God. Anybody hear me up in here? Pastor Wise is important, you see, because if they go back to the word, you know what they're going to find in that word? Let's just take Psalm 119 for a second. When they need direction, they open that Bible, Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They will never be in darkness as long as they know to go back to that word, because the word is a light. When they need understanding about a certain situation, all they got to do is open that Bible, Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy word give it light, but not only that, it give it understanding to the simple. All right? Your children will never be them people we talk about. They ain't got no understanding. They don't belong nowhere but jail because they don't understand nothing. You see, as long as they know to open that Bible, they're going to have the understanding they need to make it through life. Oh, I'm trying to preach up in here. When they get stressed out and worried, guess what? They're going to open up that Bible. Why? Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. You see, when we love the word of God, when we open that word and read that word, whatever we worried about, whatever we stressed out about, whatever we got a headache and a migraine about, let me tell you, there's something in the Bible that's better than Aleve, better than Excedrin, better than Tylenol, better than a stand back, amen, because the word of God makes the devil stand back, not just the headache. We got to teach them to go back to the Beersheba of not only prayer, but of the word. All right? When you need wisdom, thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. When they having problems with sin and need to be delivered, they got to see us go to that word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Look what he says. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If our children and our youngsters know where to go, all right? You see, what we've been doing, raising them, we giving them a fish, all right? But we got to teach them how to fish. Hallelujah. You see, we going to God on their behalf, but be sure to teach your children how to go to God on their own behalf. Teach them to look unto the hills from which cometh their help. Amen. Teach them. Don't you just stand over them and pray over them all the time. Let them pray themselves. Don't you just read the Bible to them all the time. Let them open the Bible and read the Bible themselves. Don't you just break down the word for them all the time. Let them open the word and let them develop a lesson. Let them look at Psalm 23 and tell you what it means. Because if they will learn how to pray and learn how to get in that word, they're going to know how to find Beersheba. And they're going to know how to find help when they need it. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo. And most of all, if your children not saved, if you raise them and you do the best you can, and they still not saved by the time you leave their house, but you have taught them to open up that book, let me tell you, they be in a dark place after all them friends and family done forsook them. After everybody that was trying to get them to do wrong, amen, they might be in that apartment in Elder Con or in that jail cell downtown. But you taught them the Beersheba of the word. They'll open up that Bible. And out of all the things that I just mentioned that they can find in that Bible, the very best thing that they can find in that Bible is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Salvation is in this word. The Bible says in James 1:21 that we should receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. And boy, wouldn't that be a great legacy, huh? That your child, amen, after cutting up all those years. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. And they sitting up in that hotel room and they open up that Bible and the pages fall to John 3:16 that say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that child you've been crying over, staying up at night, awake over, amen. Look at that word and get a revelation and be born again. And call you up, Miss Michelle, and say, Mama, I finally got it. I know what you're talking about now. I know my Redeemer lives, amen. That's when you show them how to get to Beersheba. Jacob went to the place Daddy used to go. Went to the place Grandpa used to go. You see, in us being here this morning, huh? You know what we teaching them? We teaching them the last Beersheba that I'm going to talk about. Because there's a Beersheba of prayer. There's a Beersheba of the word. But there's a Beersheba of a church. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? Hallelujah. The church is a type of Beersheba. And you see what y'all doing here? On Resurrection Sunday? While everybody cooking or cleaning? While everybody cutting grass and weed eating and edging? To get ready for a party? Amen. What, that they don't really know the reason why they're celebrating? But you, amen, turn the stove off and say, listen, stove, you're going to have to wait because I got to go to the house of God. I got to go. Hey, God, mama and daddy, y'all don't come by right now, but you know what time I get out of church. You can pass at about 11:30. You can pass at about 12 because you know where you're going to find me on Resurrection Sunday. You're going to find me in the house of the Lord. Listen to me. Y'all being here and having them sit up here. You teaching them something that when they go through trouble, when they go through rough waters, when they go through rough patches in life, you teach them that not only should they go to prayer, not only should they open the word, but that they should go to the house of Almighty God. You teaching them where to find that place called Beersheba. And listen, when you teach them to come to church. Listen, church is a blessing, yeah. The Bible says, blessed are they that dwell in God's house. And whether you know it or not, amen, being a diligent seeker of the Lord, God rewards us. Every Sunday we come here. Every Tuesday we come here. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. Amen. That's why the old folk, when they used to tell them, you're coming to church. Yeah, I'm coming to church. I'm not going to miss my blessing. I'm not going to miss my blessing. He blesses us for being here. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things going to be added to you. You see, the world got it wrong. We going after the things before we going after the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And we not getting the things, and we not getting the kingdom. You got to change your mind, reverse the course, go after the kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things going to be added to you. Listen, I've been watching y'all at Philadelphia. Huh? I've been watching y'all, amen, for how long we've been having church? 10 years, going on 11 years. And the car you pulled up or pushed up, the car you pulled up or pushed up and hit with is not the car that's outside right now. You hear me, huh, Dewan and Coco? That's not the car you pulled up in. The house you was living in when you first came, that's not the house you're living in now. The clothes you're wearing and the things that you have, that's not what you had when you first came in here. And I'm not saying something special about Philadelphia. I'm saying something special about our God. Amen. Because when you come to his house, you're going to get blessings. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. His word can't be broken. His word can't be broken. And for those that's here, amen, kind of visiting, I want you to try him and see. I want you to try him and see. All right? You came, it's Resurrection Sunday today. Amen. I want you to try coming to church until next Resurrection Sunday. Try it for a whole year. All right? Yeah, a lot is just 52 times. And you could take a break. Amen. You could take a break. Amen. Give me 40. Come on, look at your neighbor. Say, give me 40. Look at your other neighbor. Say, can I get 45? All right, all right. Listen. You give the Lord 40 to 45 Sundays. Out of 365 days that he give you in the year. You understand what I'm saying? And I want you, as you give him more time, I want to see how much he going to return the favor and give you. Woo! I guarantee you come to me and you say, can we do this deal again in 2018 and 2019? I guarantee you. Huh? Do you have more? Are you more blessed since you've been seeking him? Come on, raise your hand if that's your testimony. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. But not only are we more blessed when we come to the house of God, but the house of God will keep us when we fall down in trouble, just like Jacob, all right? Because Jacob is, he like in a quandary. Lord, should I go to Egypt? You know, should I go there? I'm in trouble. I need some help. All right? Church will do that for us too. In Psalm 73, David said he almost slipped. He said he almost lost his way. He said, as we would say, he almost lost his religion. But in church, we know it's not a religion, it's a relationship. He almost lost his relationship. Amen. You see, with who? With God. Why, David? Why? He said, I was envious. He said, I was jealous. Well, when did you get jealous? He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What you need to understand is that not only God blessed people, but the devil blessed people too. All right? And you can either choose which one you want to bless you. Now, I just want to give you a little bit of advice. That whatever the devil give you is going to cost you. And the old folk, you say, never make a deal with the devil because you're not going to win. Amen. And you got a lot of people out there selling their soul to the devil. Amen. But when you sell it to him, just realize that he's going to come back for payment. And the payment is your soul got to go where he's going. Anybody hear me up in here? So the devil blessed too. But you see me, I'd rather be blessed by God. All right? You see, because when God bless, amen, hallelujah, the blessing of the Lord make it rich and it added no sorrow. There's no negative repercussions that are going to come out from when the Lord bless you. In fact, the blessing just get better and better. You're not going to end up in hell when the Lord bless you. You're going to end up in heaven, hallelujah, where they got gates of pearl and streets of gold. But let's not digress. Listen, David saw the prosperity of the wicked. He saw the people that the devil was blessing. He saw their cause. Well, he didn't see their car, but I'm just saying. He saw their houses. He saw the clothes that they wore. The hat they had in their head. The fingernails they had. He saw all of that. He saw all that. And he said, man, it looked like them people that's doing worse than me, living better than me. And what did David feel? David said, man, it seemed like I done cleansed my heart in vain. Seemed like I'm striving for God for nothing. Because there I am not doing this and not doing that, reading this, reading that, going to church, doing this, and all these people over here look like they're more blessed than me. Now look, emphasis, look like. Because that's the thing about the world. They look blessed, but they're not really that blessed. Well, Pastor, they got a big house, but you don't know what's going on in that big house without the Lord. All right? All right? See, you got to wait on your blessing. Your blessing come and wait on your blessing. And when it come, it's going to be without the trouble that the mother folk get when they get their blessing. You just got to wait. Oh, God, have mercy. David said, listen, some of us done felt that way before. Am I serving him for nothing? Have I cleansed my heart in vain? Have I washed my hands in innocency for nothing? I'm doing all of this, Lord, but look, I look over here at Mr. Rogers over here. And he's doing all manner of wickedness. And look at what he got. And David said, I almost slipped. I almost fell. I was tripping. He said, until. Ooh, he said, until. Until something happened that made him catch his head. Like them children say, get your life. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, get your life. Yeah, get your life. Catch your head. Come on. He needed something to help him get his life. He said in 7:3:17, he said, I was about to slip until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went to the house of the Lord. My Bathsheba. See, because if the house of the Lord was in there and I wouldn't have went, I would have slipped, y'all. I would have went through the same evil they was doing. I would have went sell the same drug they was selling. I would have went do the same thing they was doing. I would have went, hallelujah, and done evil to get what they got until I went unto the house of God. Then understood I their end. See, because what we got to wait for is the end. We look at what people got going on and we say, ooh, they got it better than us, but you ain't saw the end just yet. You ain't saw the end just yet. Just come on, tell your neighbor, say, wait for the end. You got to wait for the end. You see, our end serving the Lord is different from their end. You got to wait for the end. David said, I went to Bathsheba, I went to the house of God, the sanctuary, and then I understood their end. I caught my head, you see? You see, we got to teach our children to not forget Bathsheba, not forget the place of the promise. And for some, that Bathsheba going to be church. For others, that Bathsheba is going to be falling on their knees in the prayer closet. For others, that Bathsheba is going to be opening up that Bible and getting in the Word of God. But what you have to do is teach them where to find the Most High. Come on, give him some glory. Amen. Come on, we're going to look at this next little sub-point, and then we're going to go. Y'all all right? You still up out there? We're talking about Israel and what he did good. He went back to Bathsheba. And for those, amen, who wasn't raised by godly parents, amen, hallelujah, listen. You ain't had nobody to show you where Bathsheba was. Amen? But God going to show you where it's at. And when God show you where Bathsheba is, whether it's church, prayer, or the Word of God, remember where it is and never forget it. When you go through problems, go to it. And not only you go to it, but teach your children, amen, how to find that place. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right, let's keep going, amen. What else did Jacob do right? What else did Israel do right? Jacob not only went to Bathsheba, he offered sacrifices. He offered sacrifices. You see, when Jacob got to Bathsheba, amen, he knew what to do. He knew what to do. Jacob offered sacrifices, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when we say offer sacrifices, amen, it means two things. When you offer sacrifices, amen, it's not like it used to mean when we go out and kill an animal. I don't want y'all killing no dogs or no cats when y'all leave here. All right? That was a different time. Okay? Back then, offer sacrifices meant to offer an animal. Amen. In the New Testament days, amen, to offer sacrifices mean two things. It means, number one, when you praise him. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see? Hebrews 13, 15 say, listen, we don't kill animals no more. But the Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of what? Of praise. That's how we offer a sacrifice now. You see? You see? We offer a sacrifice to praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You see, you ain't got to go kill no animal, no. You ain't got to get your hands dirty. All you got to do is look up and say, thank you, Jesus. And that's a sacrifice. That's the new sacrificial system. One of the commentators say this, the legal sacrifices are all suspended and abolished by the sacrifice of Christ. He's the one sacrifice, one and only sacrifice, and he ended the whole system. Huh? And the whole epistle of Hebrew points out, amen, that the sacrifice of believers should offer up to God under the gospel are the sacrifices of praise. And those sacrifices gonna never end. We praise him here on earth right now. And when we get to glory, we're going to praise him some more. Anybody hear me up in here? So when Jacob went to offer, amen, he was giving God thanks. Huh? He was giving God thanks. And I want to tell you, amen, that when you're going through and you need something from God, amen, hallelujah, before you ask him for something, you should thank him for what he's already done. All right? And that's what Jacob did at Beersheba. You see, I not only got to show you where Beersheba at, I got to show you what to do when you get there. He offered a sacrifice. He thanked him. Well, what did Jacob thank him for? Everything. He started off when he was born. God, thank you for allowing me to be born, hallelujah, at the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Huh? And some of us need to begin to praise him for that very thing because we're in the same situation right now. Lord, thank you that I'm part of the chosen people, that I'm a Hebrew. You see? And he praised him for that. He said, Lord, thank you that Esau sold his birthright. Thank you he was hungry and I had the gumbo that he wanted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I found my wife, Rachel. Thank you, Lord, that when I was with Laban, you blessed me. Thank you, Lord, when I left Laban, when Laban was trying to hunt me down, you warned Laban in the dream, don't tell me nothing good or bad. Thank you, Lord. I could hear Jacob, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. That when I left Laban and you delivered me from Laban and that was enough, Esau was coming right after Laban when I left Laban. And Lord God, Esau had been said he was going to kill me. But when I got to Esau, you turned, hallelujah, my enemy. You made my enemies be at peace with me. And my brother who wanted to kill me is now hugging me. Thank you, Lord. Anybody hear what I'm saying? He's just going through his life. He like, Lord, thank you. And now, Lord, when the famine hit and there was no food, you left me with food in Egypt, and I thank you for that. When I sent my sons, they found food over there. And Lord, when we got trouble, amen, and they kept Simeon and they wanted Benjamin, and it looked like it was going to end off in bad. God, I want to praise you. Because when I sent Benjamin with him, Benjamin returned, but he just didn't return. He returned with Simeon, and the son I thought was dead, Joseph, is now alive. You gave me double for my trouble, and I want to praise you up in here. When I thought it was all lost, you would set me up, woo, for a comeback. And I could just see him over there at Beersheba, just lifting up the name of the Most High God. And now my son Joseph, who I thought was dead, is telling me to come on down to Egypt. And the one I took care of is now going to take care of me. God, I got to praise you up in here. You see, when you get to Beersheba, you got to praise God. Have you ever praised God from when you was born up until where you're at right now? You ain't never had a praise session where you thank him for your birthday all the way to the day today? I done been in my house, TP, and I done thanked him. Lord, thank you for October 7, 1976.
Thank you for a good mama. Yes, she cut up, but she loved me, Lord God. Thank you for a daddy who provided for me. Thank you for my big brother who allowed me to sleep on the side of him in his bed. And when I was scared, he would come with me, go get some water. Thank you, Lord God, for my sister who told on me when I did wrong. I didn't like it, but when she was tattletaling, it was you working it out for my good. Thank you, Lord God, for J.W. Falk and N.P. Moss. Thank you, Lord God, for Northside. Yeah, it was hood, but it taught me how to love my people. Thank you, Lord God. Hey, you ever just praised him from the moment of your birth until now? Thank you, Lord God. We was cleaning offices when I was young and I was complaining. When everybody was at the dance or at the game, I was wiping tables and emptying trash cans. But Lord, in that same office, you showed me, hallelujah, the law books that was in the library. And when I was cleaning those lawyers' offices, you put in me that I would want to be a lawyer. I thank you. I thank you. That what I thought was bad, you was working. You was working. You was working for my good. You ever had a praise session? That's what Jacob had. The things that I thought was to my detriment wind up being to my advantage. You see, you're going to have to get to Beersheba. And you're going to have to begin to praise him. Because it could have been worse than what it was. And he done brought you a mighty long way. And look at you now. Look at you now. And I'm telling you, nothing get rid of depression like a good praise. Nothing get rid of worry like a good praise. Nothing get rid of anxiety like a good praise. Nothing get rid of the devil in your house like a good praise. When you just... Hallelujah! He went to Beersheba and he praised him. Like Hosea said, we ain't slaying no hands. We're giving him the calves of our lips, the Bible says. Because to God, praising him is just like offering up that animal. It's a sweet sacrifice of praise. It's an aroma in his nostrils. He said, look at him down there thanking me. You see? That's what Jacob did at Beersheba. Let me tell you one other thing. Come on, we got to go. We got to go. It's getting hot up in here. It's getting hot up in here. It's getting hot in this little suit, Pastor Jay. Lord have mercy. My ties, my ties. Listen. Hallelujah. What else he did at Beersheba? He not only gave him a praise, but watch this, watch this. Jacob gave him an offering. You see, because that sacrifice cost Jacob. It cost him. That was his animal he put on that altar. That was his property he released. All right? And what we need to learn, amen, when we get to Beersheba, not only do we praise him, but we got to give the king an offering. Listen to me good. Now listen to me good. Hebrews, you got to get back to who you used to be. You see, we're picking up some bad habits here in America. We turn into a people that don't want to give to God and give to his work. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you give, you're not going to receive. If you don't give, amen. If you don't give, you're not going to receive. You see, I don't want y'all to be like the goy. I don't want y'all to be like the Gentiles. God, be like the Hebrews. The Hebrews always understood the principle of giving. You see, we understood, Harvey. Our scripture says in Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift, what we give, it make room for him and bring him before great men. We understood that. That's our scriptures. That's a principle that God taught us very early. The NLT tells us this. Giving a gift can do what? It can open door. Anybody need an open door in their life? Anybody ever needed an open door like God? Like God, I need an open door. I need a breakthrough. I need something to change up in here. All right? Reason why things ain't changing, amen. Number one, we not showing up to Beersheba. Number two, we not giving him the praise for what he's already done. And number three, we done lost the concept of giving our Most High God a proper offering. Oh, God have mercy. Oh, y'all don't want to hear the truth up in here? Oh, yeah. You see, Jacob was a giver. When you study his life, he was always a giver. When Esau was coming to meet him, guess how the Lord used him to pacify Esau's anger? He gave Esau gifts. When he didn't know it was Joseph over Egypt, amen, and was holding his son Simeon, guess what he sent with his sons? Gifts. Take him the best of the land. Take him the balm of Gilead. Take him the almonds. Take him everything that we have, amen. Maybe somehow our gift going to make room for us. Our gift going to open doors that would normally not be open. How many people want doors that normally are not open to be open in your life? Jobs you're not supposed to have. Checks you're not supposed to receive. Land you're not supposed to own. Come on, Minister Phil, tell him. I'm trying to tell you. You see, when you understand the concept of a gift, you move from the natural to the supernatural. All right? You move from the natural to the supernatural. All right? And even some in the world understand that. You ain't even got to be saved to understand that. That's why Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, that's why they give so much. That's why the Rockefellers gave so much. Because they understood the laws of heaven. They understood the laws of the kingdom. And here I am in 2018, and the children of the kingdom have forgotten the laws of the kingdom. Children of the kingdom, remember the laws of the kingdom. That is more blessed to give than to receive. Because when you give, that's when you go receive. And you receive not only what you give, but you receive, oh God, according to the law of the harvest. How lost folk gonna do that better than us? You see? So Jacob understood that. So when he went to Beersheba, he offered an offering. He gave the Lord something. You see? And how many people know that when you give God something, God always responds? All right? I told you one law, that when you give, you're going to receive. Let me tell you another law. And this is the best way I could put it, like the old church used to say. You could never outgive God. All right? See, God's character is like this. All right? At the end of all creation, God don't want to owe anybody anything. God don't want to be in heaven or look on earth and say, Montgomery, I still owe you for what you give me. God don't play no debt. Because the borrower is slave to the lender. God ain't a slave to nobody. So whatever you give to him or on his behalf, whether it's to the poor, whether it's to his church, whether it's for his kingdom, God's saying, oh, they lent me something. All right? And I don't know about you, but if anybody with wealth ever come and ask me to borrow something, all right? Who's a rich person y'all know, huh? Somebody, huh? Who was rich in it? I say Bill Gates, huh? Who else rich up in here? Who's that? Oprah? You're Oprah. Thank y'all. Oh, that was perfect. Now if Oprah call y'all and say, y'all, I'm in Lafayette and I forgot my wallet. Billy Clay, what you do? You know what I'm saying? I forgot my wallet. I need a couple of things. Oprah, what you need, girl? Come by the house. Look, stay. We will move on. I'm going to go by Minister Duck. Minister Duck owe me something. He owe me a favor or two. We're going to go lay down over there by him and Chantel. Girl, just enjoy yourself. Go ahead, break everything in here. Just, you know, tad off the hinges. You know what I'm saying? If Stedman make you mad, just break a window or something. Just. Why would I do that to Oprah, y'all? Because she rich. And everything that she lent. Everything I lend to her, I know it's coming back. I know it's coming back. I know it's coming back. Now let me check the fate of the children of the kingdom. Because the same ones that say they would lend to Oprah, they not lending unto the Lord. When the baskets came up, they ain't gave nothing. When the tide came forward, they ain't lent the Lord nothing. They don't put no church. They don't lend nobody nothing. They hold on to everything. How in the world you going to believe more in Oprah? Then you're going to believe in the omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent Most High God. High in the world, I want to check your faith right now. And no, I ain't going to pass the baskets again. Because that's what you just said. You pass it again, pass. I'm going to do it. No, I ain't passing it. I'm not passing it again. We don't pass it twice. All right? But we do have a couple of boxes on your way out. If you also, we do have a couple of boxes. They located on that exit. Brother, that's by the box. Raise your hand. Just flash your hand. Yes. And there's another box over there. I just want to check your faith. And you say, Pastor, why are you doing that? Because I want to buy that land next door. All right? I want to buy that land next door. And I want to build a 2,000-seat sanctuary for the people of God to have a place to come to Lafayette, Louisiana. All right? In the mighty name of Jesus. All right? Hallelujah. And when we give, Proverbs 3:9, we're almost done. And I'm going to just slow down right here. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. That's what you make. And with the first fruits of all your increase. That's what God said he wants from his people. I'm reminding the kingdom people about kingdom principles. And verse 10 tells us what God going to do when we do like Jacob and offer to him. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Now, Pastor, I don't have a barn yet. Wait, you're going to get one. If you want one, you're going to get one. Well, Pastor, he said barns, plural. That's right. You're going to have more than one. All right? And you ain't just going to have barns that's empty. He said your barns going to be filled with plenty. You're going to have overflow. Somebody going to be moving out their apartment. They're going to need some furniture. You say, come on, I got a barn back here. You can come and get some furniture from me. I just got it stored up. Somebody going to need a car. You're going to say, come on, look, I got a car. Come to this barn back here. I got a car. Somebody going to need some clothes. Come on back here. I got a whole bunch of clothes in this barn right here. Barn shall be filled with plenty. But it's not just resources, because, you know, sometimes we don't need money from God. We need other things from God. We need things that only God can give. Because we got some people with money, and me telling them, offer to the Lord, they say, Pastor, I already got the bonds. But I know that you have some things that you don't have that you need from God. Like peace in that marriage. Like deliverance for them children. Like healing in your body. Sure, you're like Naaman, you got it all, but you got a little problem with your skin. And I'm here to tell you that giving God an offering will not only bless your finances, but anything else you need. That's the way the kingdom works. I'm revealing to you kingdom principles. You see, we don't have nothing because we forgot the kingdom principles. We would never be living in the projects. We would never be in the hood. We would never be in shotgun house. We would never be living in the streets. We would never have our lights turned off and our water off. We would never be struggling if we remembered the blessings of the Lord and how to be blessed. I'm trying to remind you about the principles of the kingdom. Lafayette, listen to me. This is where we have fallen off. We have forgotten about our God. The people of the God, the people of the book are blessed as long as they are obedient and seeking after their God. My job is to bring you back to what we have forgotten. We have always been a giving people. But right now the devil got us given to the wrong things. 2 Corinthians 9:8, our last scripture. This is for those that may not need resources from the Lord. That's where Jacob was, cool? Jacob didn't need money. He needed some other things. His son had just sent and said, Lord, say, Daddy, come to Egypt. Jacob, I'm about to, next time we're going to talk about the quandary Jacob was in, because he wasn't sure whether he should go to Egypt. The Lord had just told his predecessor, Isaac, don't you dare go back down to Egypt. He's like, Lord, I need wisdom. Anybody ever been in a situation where you need God to speak? That's where Jacob was. What did he do when he needed a word from God? He gave an offering. And in 2 Corinthians 9:8, which is all about giving, the Bible says after we give like that to God, that God is able. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, God is able. Whatever you need from him, remember those three words. God is able. He's able to make what? All grace. That's all kind of favor and blessings. Not just monetary, but all grace. Anything that you need from him, he can provide it. Favor in every area. And he'll make that grace abound towards you. That you will always have all sufficiency in all things. And he's going to allow you to abound in every good work. God is saying that when you go to Beersheba and you know how to praise me, when you go to Beersheba and you are a giver and you know how to give an offering unto me, God is saying no matter where you go and no matter what you do, no matter what you need, I will always provide for you and make sure that you have every single thing you need. You will know me as El Shaddai. Come on, give God some glory up in this house. Come on, give him glory in this house. Hallelujah. Youngsters, I want y'all to do me a favor, all right? Go back by your mama and daddies. Go ahead, run. Run before First Lady get y'all. Run. She a principal at PCA. Hallelujah. Now here we go. Thank you, Miss Clean. Hallelujah. Here we go. All right. We're going to pray. And we're going to pray for salvation. There's too many people for altar call, y'all. But you can get saved right where you at. Right? If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I'm not saved and I don't know if I died right now, I don't know where I would end up. I'm telling you that it's as easy as ABC. You admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You believe in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection. He says, for whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you confess him as your Lord and Savior. For with the heart we believe it unto righteousness, with the mouth we confess unto salvation. Listen to me. Salvation is close. It's right here in this room. How in the world are you going to be in the same room with something and leave without it? It's here. Salvation is here. You can leave here forgiven and with your ticket to heaven to where if something bad happened to you, you know where you're going. And it starts off with a prayer right here. Right here. Right here. You've heard him die for your sins. You've heard him rise from the grave on the third day. And you know he's coming back again. You know it. You the people. You know it. Now, today we get right with God. Today we get right with God. For some of you, you're going to be able to say, Pastor, remember that Resurrection Sunday you taught in 2018? That was the day I got right with the Lord. That was the day I got right. Salvation was in that room, and I got right with him. I didn't leave empty. I left with it. Pray with me. Pray with me. Wherever you are, just close your eyes. You ain't got to look. You ain't got to look. Just close your eyes. We got people looking for you. You focus on God right now. He's about to change everything in your life. Don't come this close to change and leave without it. Now talk to God. Say, God, thank you for everything you've done in my life. From when I was born up until now, you've kept me and blessed me. No, it wasn't perfect, but it could have been worse. And I thank you that I'm still here. Now, Lord, I admit, while you was blessing me, I did some wrong. I sinned against you. And I'm sorry. But I know that you still love me. And I know that you died for me on the cross. And I know on the third day you rose with all power. And I know if I call on you, you will answer me. Well, now I'm calling. Lord, save me. Forgive me. Change me. I believe in you with all my heart. I'm ready now. And where I'm weak at, please help me. If I fall, pick me up. When I go through, help me to remember Beersheba. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Give him glory. Give him glory in this house. Some souls done got saved in this place today. Ushers, can you come? Can you come, ushers? We're going to do the communion service. Just come on up to the front, ushers. Hallelujah. Ushers, that's in the back stations. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Those that's in the back stations, y'all come on up too. Y'all can just come on. Miss Pam, come on up right here. Y'all just come. Ushers that's in the back stations, come on up too. Come on, we want all the communion wear people in the front. Come on. All the people that's doing communion, y'all come to the front. Come to the front. All the stations, come to the front. Come to the front. There's a special anointing at the altar. I want everybody that came to church on Sunday to get a chance to come to the altar. There's a special anointing at the altar. There's a special presence that's here. A special presence that's here. I know how we usually do it, but sometimes the Holy Ghost will change up how we usually do it because he want to do it his way. And we gonna oblige to the Holy Ghost. There's something special at the altar today. And Father, I pray that every person that come and get the articles of our faith, the body and the blood, Lord God, that you touch them, that you bless them, that you keep them, that you fill them, that you anoint them, that you do what you do, Daddy. Bless us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on down to the altar and get you one. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to have this communion, then we're going to get out of here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 Not like you. Hallelujah. You trying to take two? Oh, you got one already. How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Y'all doing all right? Y'all doing all right? Y'all doing all right? I'm serving today. I'm serving today. I'm serving today. What's going on? What's going on? In the mighty name. Oh, what an honor. What an honor. What an honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. Sorry, Sherman, I was going to give you one, but God bless you, Miss Mary. You're such a blessing. Come on, Brother Robin. Good to see you. Come on, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. So good to see the people of God in here. God bless you, woman of God. Girl, you pretty with that dress on. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus. We're about to run out, Nanny. We're about to run out. God bless you. God bless you. What's up there, Brother Kenny? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Too pretty. Pretty dress. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ronnie P. God bless you, woman of God. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Miss Sally. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you, young man. Favor on you, young man. God bless you, them basketballers. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Miss Kim. In the name of Jesus, you can have two, Miss Kim. You can have two. One for later on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two for your uncles? All right. Tell me anything, boy. Tell me anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to get your two, too? Wait up. Now I'm going to start charging up here. Y'all taking two. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. You too, huh? Hallelujah. Oh, what's going on? Bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Nanny. Show Ronnie P how to do it. God bless you. God bless you. Y'all doing all right? God bless you. Be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Boy, that's bands. Boy, that's bands you got on. That's clean. That's clean. That's clean. Doing good. Love you too, Mom. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, you're going to get two too, huh? Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. God bless you, man of God. Like that beard, man. God bless you. God, hallelujah, ooh, brother. Lord. In the name of Jesus. God bless you, brother Harold. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, brother Sam. He bless you. You need new tutu, all right? Come on. God bless you in the name of Jesus. God bless you, woman of God. Father, right now, by your stripes we heal. By the blood of Jesus, touch our sister and heal her in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold the nothing. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. You need two or you need one? All right. Come on. Bless you, man of God. Bless you, man of God. Bless you. What's up, Pat? Good to see you, man. You need one or two, Pat? All right, for your mom. All right. Hallelujah. Whoa, what's going on? Good to see you. Love you too, yeah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I don't mind serving y'all. God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Even though my line is long, hey, Miss Onchia, what's going on? God bless you in Houston in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Two of them are cousins. Looking good. You got healed up, huh? God is good. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you, Mr. Black. Good to see you. God bless you. Oh, that's a bad tease right there. God bless you. Yes, that's for you there. God bless you. All right. You play that ball good, yeah. I saw you. Crossover. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. You're such a blessing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Y'all, we still got people coming? Mike, where they coming from, Mike? Lord, have mercy. God bless you, woman of God. I ain't complaining, Lord. I'm not complaining. God bless you, sis. You need another one or you good? You got it. You got it. God bless you, my brother. I love the people of God. I love the people of God. Look at y'all. God's people. Two of them. God bless you. Good morning. Go ahead. You got that. You got that, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Well, I done got myself in trouble now, TP. That's the three-point shot right there. That's the three-point. God bless you. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day to you too. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you, Jeanette. Jeanette, that's your second one? I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm just messing with her. That's my friend. We've been knowing each other long. He said he needed two breads. He had a piece of turkey back there. God bless you. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Here we go, saints. Here we go. Hallelujah. I sure did. Thank you, healing. Thank you, healing. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. The Bible tells us, y'all, that on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, he told his disciples, which are all of us in him, he said, take this, eat all of it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Thank you, Deacon. I was having a little trouble. The Bible says on the same night he was betrayed, he took the cup after supper. And then the same manner gave thanks. And look at all of his disciples. And he said, drink this. For this is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. And thank God for the new covenant, y'all. Thank God for the new covenant. We never would have made it, y'all. We never would have made it. Thank God. But without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. In every covenant, there must be blood shed. And it was his blood that was shed for that blessing of a great salvation we get. Let us drink together and give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. I done kept y'all too long. I love y'all. I love y'all. I'd go out there, but we'd never leave the building. Amen. We'd never leave the building. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Peace in your body. Peace in your mind. Peace in your finances. Peace in your marriage. Peace with your children. Peace in your children's children. Peace. Peace, peace. Happy Resurrection Day. May God bless you with all your dreams. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Get it.